All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Ideas Radio Show. 3 years. Good morning, Laurie. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
3 years.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. I can't believe it. I actually started this crazy little thing 3 years ago to the day, September 6th,
yep.
3 years ago. So you do my math, 2011. And it was a joke, to be honest. It's still a joke, to be honest. But unbelievable!
Hey, well,
I actually started.
Fun joke.
What, Brian?
Wait, you just noticed the comment that I made, and it really is true. We are reality radio. This is not a show. It's reality
it's
radio.
True.
Everything that happens here is real. It's all live.
Yeah,
it's
like
all
last
true.
Week. Like last week when you cut me off because you sent me a text and I don't know how to operate my phone and turned off my system. Yeah, that's reality for you right there. That's real radio. But anyway, yeah. 3 years ago I started this thing and it was all because I had an idea about a barbecue sauce, which by the way is still on the back burner, and I thought, what a great way to advertise barbecue sauce to get yourself a radio show. And as everybody knows, history goes, I then brought on a sidekick. You guys all know Crispy, who now doesn't speak to me. And then we brought on a bunch of regulars.
You have a thing
on
about alienating people, don't you?
Yeah, I know. Then I had a few regulars who don't show up anymore either, so I take them off. See, here's the problem. You know what the problem is? Everybody thinks we make tons of money doing this show. And then they come on and they find out that they don't, and we don't make any money. And then they say, well, what am I doing this for? I don't know. I have no clue why you're doing it, but hey, you're having fun. Matter of fact, it says having fun with our friends. That's exactly what Brilliant Ideas Radio is, having fun with our foodie friends, our musical friends, et cetera. So anyway, thank you, everybody, for your support. It's been 3 fun years. Thank you for all the listeners. Thank you to all the guests. We actually have had about 170 guests, which is unbelievable.
That's amazing.
I have come on the show. We've met some cool singers, foodie people from all over the world. It's just been really interesting, and we're still going strong. And hopefully, if I get off my fat butt, we'll get this 24/7 deal going with Foodie Radio and Brilliant Ideas. But thanks to everyone. If you want to call in today, you're welcome to call in. We like to hear from past guests, like to hear from listeners if you would like. Keep it clean. The number is 714-242-5272. I do have the mute button, so but you can call in, and we'd like to hear from you. Anyway, without further ado, I think we're going to go to food news like we usually do, and I believe, Laurie, actually the food news girl is going to be Brian this morning because he has one story that I want him to talk about. And Brian, this is about the fast food business, and we're probably going to tick everybody off this morning, as usual. So, Brian, would you like to talk about that story?
Well, yeah, I would love to talk about this story because I have mixed feelings about this. I mean, I'm sure that most people, if they actually watch the news out there in whatever land they live in, are hearing about all these protests around the country. You know, it started out with McDonald's workers, and now you've got Wendy's workers and Taco Bell and the whole gamut of fast food employees, complaining about their wages, and they want, they want a raise. Now, I agree with complaining with the issues of their wages. They get paid minimum wage. It's like seven and change, and no one can live on that. But I have a real issue with them asking for $15 an hour. Is a fast food job worth $15 an hour? It's not skilled labor. I did it in college. You know, it's really demeaning. It's really menial in some ways. I did it in college to make some money, you know, so that I had a little play money, to work with. But there are people out there that work construction jobs that make $10 an hour.
I know. I'll interject something here. When I was a kid, of course, this is many, many years ago, but a teenager, I used to mow grass for 2 hours with my neighbor. He would pay me $2. Now, of course, gas was 39 cents a gallon at the time, but and things were much cheaper. But no freaking way is $15. I'll give you an example. I went to, I think it was Wendy's. No, it was Burger King. Went to Burger King when I was in Chicago and ordered, I don't know, some specialty Burger King Whopper deal, you know, one of those value meals. And I upsized it, of course, got a large fry and a large drink. But they said $9.38. I'm like, good God, for a burger, fries, and a drink. And then I went to Wendy's, got a chicken sandwich and a fry, not the same day, but a different day, and that was $8.83. So if we go to $15 an hour, are we all willing to pay somewhere in the neighborhood of $12-$13 for a burger and fries? No. And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, look, I agree with the fact that that minimum wage needs to be raised. You know, I think $10 is a good place for that because it's an insult to pay people for any kind of work what we have as a minimum wage. But $15, I mean, you know, my job, I'm out in my car all day, so there's probably 4 hours of the day, 5 hours of the day that I'm actually not working. So if you calculate how much money I made that day during the time I actually worked, you know, I might not make $15 an hour.
Well, it's true. Like we talked about earlier, this show we do, even though people don't call it work, and actually it's not, but except for poor Laurie, we have no air conditioning upstairs. The air conditioning is on the blink, and Laurie's upstairs, the upstairs studio, and she's sweating her brow right now. I'm working hard. But we don't get paid for this. And the bottom line is, we have fun, but $15 an hour to flip burgers, I'm sorry, and I'm going to tick off everybody out there in the fast food business. And on top of all that, please, would you guys get a little bit better attitude out there? Speaking of that Burger King that was out in Chicago, they were they were pissed off because I was going through the drive-thru. And you don't want to make them mad because they might, spit in your french fries. But I don't know. I know people need to get paid, but $15 an hour, I'm sorry, I don't get it, and send all your nasty letters to Brian.
That's fine, I'll take them. I've been thrown under the bus, I've been dragged through a jet stream. You want to send your nasty letters to me, go right ahead. Like we said, this is reality radio. We Just tell it like you see it and hear it.
There's chefs and cooks out there who work, you know, ungodly amount of hours a week, 60, 70, sometimes more hours a week. And a lot of those guys are paid on salary. And if you were to calculate what those guys do who have training and all that, I bet you a lot of them don't make $15 an hour. I mean, there's some that are, you know, fancy pants, but a good portion of them.
Oh, I'm sure. Look, the guys that are the line chefs that actually do all the work and the guys that do prep, some of them punch a clock.
Yep.
You know, and they probably don't make no $15 an hour.
No.
Or barely. I'm sure of it. And these guys do work 60, 70 hours a week.
Yeah, well, so. I guess we beat that horse dead enough. But anyway, it just doesn't make sense to me. And it's going to mess up our economy. Everybody's going to be paying more for their food. And I know everybody's talking about raising the minimum wage, but there's a point where it just gets kind of be crazy. You know, those are supposed to be starting jobs, and you're supposed to go from there and work your way up and get better paying jobs. That's my way of looking at it. But anyway, Laurie, do you have any food news you'd like to share?
I have some food news. Just a quick tidbit. Anyway, they say you slice it. Americans are obsessed with pizza. I know we talked about this when I was reading the article, but it's just a quick line that says 1 in 8 of us are noshing on it any given day, and the average American consumes pizza about 39 times a year. Isn't that
right? We're way below average, aren't we?
I'm even further below the average than you guys, because I know you eat frozen pizza. Since I left New York, it's rare when I eat pizza.
We don't eat frozen pizza much. We bought it a couple times.
Exactly. Well, I would say maybe at most a couple times a month, if that. I think it's not even that much.
No, not even. No way.
I probably eat pizza like once every couple of months at this point.
Yep. When I was on the road, I used to stop and grab a slice of pizza. And, you know, in New Jersey, they make it great, like, for lunch. But still never. I mean, I know a lot of my friends and family, I think we've talked about it. Every Friday night, that's their thing. They order pizza. And they have kids, so maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know, but.
Another reason why I don't eat pizza is not because I don't like pizza around here, but it's messy. And, you know, I'm on the road. I'm in and out of my car. I get pizza on me. I don't have a shirt to change into, you know. So
I love pizza, don't get me wrong.
It's a messy ordeal.
By the way, I forgot to do something.
I know what you forgot.
But
I was going to remind you after we were done with this, but.
You didn't announce everybody.
Yeah, I keep forgetting to do that. Because I forget, people download this show and don't see the computer. And I suppose that I'm going to start doing this. I'll make myself a note in the future. As soon as I start, I will start making the announcement.
As soon as you start, do that.
How about if I send you a text to remind you?
No, don't send me a text because I'll cut myself off like I did last week. Here are our guests this week, in case you're listening on your iPod and your iPhone or in your bathtub or wherever you're doing, sunbathing at the beach, and you're listening in your earphones. Our guests today are Holly Gunther, and she's the owner-artist of Kimchi Kawaii, I guess how you say it. She's going to be talking about sweet dreams plus strawberries, and that's when I'm going to turn the microphone over to Laurie, because I saw her website, and it says being cute is important or is the most important thing or something, and being cute is not in my repertoire, so I'll let Laurie handle that one. And then after that, we've got our second guest, which is Allison Knowles. I think it's Swihart. Probably pronouncing her name wrong. But they have a really cool product. It's made out of beer. It's beer soap, and it's called hand-brewed soaps. And they make beer soap. They also make a beer lip balm, which is kind of cool. That'll be our second guest. And then our singing guest is an old friend of ours. Well, she's not old. A friend of ours who used to be on our shows quite a bit. Tara Tensley is coming out with a new album, CD, album for the old folks, CD for the young folks, and she's going to be coming on, singing some of her new songs, So that is our guest lineup for today. And now, did you guys want to go back to the pizza, or did we finish with that one?
No, we finished it. It was just a little quick thing.
Okay. do you have anything
have
else?
Brian, did you want to talk about the salsa?
We could talk about salsa. We could talk about hamburgers, hot dogs. I've got a whole list of things. We could even talk about middle-aged women finding uses for bananas. So,
<Uh-oh>.
What would you like to talk about?
Do that one. Do that one for. I read part of that article. Do that one.
Okay, that was potassium-rich foods cut stroke, death, stroke, cut stroke, death risks. That's written poorly. I'm sorry. Potassium-rich foods cut stroke, death risks among older women.
Wait. Are you drinking again this morning?
No. Not at all. This is just, I don't know. Potassium-rich foods cut stroke, comma, death risks among older women.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. apparently, they're finding that if you eat more bananas, it'll lessen your possibilities of having a stroke.
Yep.
So,
and lowest blood pressure. But you got to eat a lot of it. I forget the levels. What was the level every day? But Grillin, I have to say, Grillin eats a banana almost every day. He's a banana freak. And he's got me hooked on the frozen one now, so I do like them frozen. But what was the, where is it? The women were stroke-free at the start and consumed an average of 2,600 milligrams of potassium per day. But the average American, they say, just in a banana is 422 milligrams. So you need to eat like a ton of bananas a day.
Well, that's why I thought it was kind of funny. You know, you see all these older, middle-aged to older women with a bushel of bananas. I'm like, okay, what's going on here?
I know. We'd be very fat, and I couldn't eat that many bananas.
Size
women? I mean, you know, someone who weighs 115 like me or someone who weighs 210, should they be eating the same amount as me? That always bugs me when I start seeing, like, the average, like, you know, how many glasses of water a day.
Yeah.
Well,
bananas
to me are very, very appealing. And, have you noticed, though, that there's ads popping up everywhere on the Internet that you're not supposed to eat bananas because that's supposed to be one of the things that makes you fat? So it doesn't make any sense. It keeps you from having a stroke, but you get fat from eating bananas.
Well,
if you get too fat, it raises
your blood pressure and you have a stroke.
So. Cholesterol. Yeah.
Again, we found another thing that's going to kill you with the left hand and cure you with the right hand. I mean, so, again, here we are, reality.
I know.
Reality.
None of our news ever means anything because we always have conflicting stories from one week to the next.
Rip it apart. Yeah.
Yep. But that's what's cool about this show. Hey, we got our first guest calling in, and I'm going to take a quick break. I believe it's her, and I'm going to, Laurie, turn the microphone over to you, but I'll take a quick break here, and then we'll be bringing on, we're going to be talking about, I guess, plush toys, which is something I know nothing about, but we're going to be talking about a Kickstarter project that a lady that, her name of the company, like I said before, is, I think it's called Kimchi Kawaii. And she'll be joining us as soon as I find the button to press for my big green egg thing right now. Here we go. Everybody hang tight.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yes, sirree, Bob. Cook yourself something on Big Green Egg. It is an ultimate cooking experience. You can go to biggreenegg.com, punch in your zip code, find a dealer near you. This week we cooked ribs
and a whole chicken on the big green egg. And Laurie, I mean, am I lying? It was probably the best I have ever had, and we have ever had in our life. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It tastes like that every time you make it, though. It tastes unbelievable every time.
It was amazing.
It's amazing. And there's never any leftovers. There's hardly any leftovers. I don't understand that either. Well, I do.
The big green egg, it does the trick. It's just amazing, and it makes me look like a chef, which I'm not, but it's amazing stuff. So anyway, get yourself a big green egg at biggreenegg.com. And don't forget, Brian, October 25th, we're going to Virginia Beach for the Big Green Egg Egg Fest. So put that
on
your calendar.
I know, and guess what? I can't go. I looked at my calendar, and I've got something to do.
I don't believe it.
Well, guess what?
No. Yeah. Boo.
I can't
go. All right. We're going to talk about plush toys and this Kimchi Kawaii. And the lady who's joining us, her name is Holly Gunther, and I probably pronounced her name wrong, too, but let's press this button, and we should have Holly with us this morning. Good morning, Holly.
Hello. Hey, she is.
Yay, it's working.
Are you there?
I am. Hello.
Yes, it's you.
Okay, how are you this morning?
I'm doing really good, and you actually pronounced my name right, so what bonus points right there.
Well, I didn't know if it was Gunther or Gunther, but I took a shot there. So welcome to the show, and you've got yourself
a
Kickstarter project going on right now, trying to raise money to come out with this new, I guess it's called Sweet Dreams Plush Toy. It's a strawberry and chocolate play toy, I guess, for kids. And I know nothing about this, and that's why I'm turning the microphone over to Laurie, because when you said everything about your website is about being cute, that just cancels me out completely. So,
well, I haven't interrupted. No, he is. He's very cute. And he really can take the microphone on this one, but actually, we're going to let you talk and tell us all about it. I'm actually excited to hear. It's just adorable. So,
thank you.
How you got started with this and the work. My goodness.
Yeah, so I just love doing puns. I actually was listening in a little bit earlier there. I heard the appealing pun about the banana, so always love puns. And I figured, you know what, I might as well just try to make some money off of it. And other than getting the eye rolls from all my friends and stuff. And I've always loved doing the puns. I like doing artwork, and I've always had a like for like the traditional Japanese, or not traditional, but the pop art style of Japanese cute, and it's known as kawaii. So I've combined those, and I just started doing the plush about in March, actually. Started turning some of my designs into the cute stuffed animals, and I go to these anime conventions and sell these animals, my creations there in the artist alley. And they've been doing really, really well, and one of the ones I did was my Sweet Dream Strawberry, which is a little napping strawberry underneath a chocolate blanket. With the chocolate blanket comes off, and the reaction to that's been really, really positive, but unfortunately I also work a full-time job, so trying to get those done and keep up with demand has been really tough, so I've just turned to Kickstarter to try to raise the funds to get these manufactured outside.
And Laurie, that's when you're supposed to talk next.
this is your chance to say something now.
No, I have a question.
She was done. I didn't want to interrupt.
I do have a question. I know it's like you're always sitting quietly. You're not used to taking over the role of the interviewer, but I do have a question. Now, does this have anything to do with Comic-Con? I saw pictures of you, like, dressed up in all kinds of, like, different outfits. Is this a Comic-Con, like, character? Because I don't know anything about it.
Comic-Con and anime conventions, they all kind of, they have a group of people that just kind of overlap, and so the anime ones focus primarily on Japanese pop culture and Japanese animation, stuff like Pokemon and like Speed Racer, like if you want to go for a really like vintage anime or something. But then you just get a lot of people, we just like to dress up and go have fun. I mean, it's like Halloween all the time for us. it's so much fun. I mean, you can hang out with all these people of similar interests, and we just like to, it's a big geek fest. What can I say? Comic-Con. I've personally never been to San Diego Comic-Con. I would like to go check it out, but I just haven't had a chance to. But I've been keeping busy with all the anime conventions and stuff and traveling around. I was actually in Ireland recently, so I was there for the big one that you guys had, Otakon in Baltimore.
Okay. You know, I saw you dressed up on your Facebook page, and I'm like, I thought it had something to do with Comic-Con, but I wasn't sure. Now, Laurie, am I supposed to go with this interview, or are you doing it?
I think you're doing fine. I'm just listening.
All right, I have a question.
At the same time, go ahead.
Yeah, she's very hot. There's no AC where she is. But you're doing Kickstarter project, and people, by the way, you can go to her website, which is kimchikawaii.com, which I have a link here on our show. You just click and go. But you're doing this Kickstarter project for the strawberries and chocolate plush toy, and you need to raise about, what, another $1,800? Is that right?
I'm looking for $8,500.
$8,500? How much do you have now?
I am almost, 80% funded.
Oh, good.
So,
and you got, what, three or four more days left?
Three more days left. It does end on Tuesday, September 9th at 7 p.m. Pacific time. So figured out, you know, keep track of it there in the last few hours and everything, and hopefully we can get this to go all the way through.
Cool. So you've got.
Well, me and Grillion will be donating. That's for sure.
Yes, definitely.
And my friend Anna from Garden, who I know has been on your show earlier, she did mention. She said I should let you know that I'm thinking about doing some meat plushes. So I'm going to have like a total ham, and I'm going to have a T-bone steak. So.
Oh really? Well, now I can get into those type of plush toys.
Yeah. I'm actually coming up into my convention off season here, so I'll be developing a bunch of new plush, and I'll be posting them on the website and everything. I don't know why, I just thought like a T-bone steak would be a cute plush, because I like to do the ones that not everybody else is doing.
How do you find the time, though? You said you work full time.
I also don't sleep. A crazy creative. We like to stay up really late, and it's just, I don't know, I just keep on going and going. Because
this
is what I love to do.
Are you just like I like to do the radio show. Am I getting cut off?
You keep getting. I tell you what. Are you on a speakerphone? Take your phone off speaker because we keep losing part of what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Just a second.
All right. Well, while she's doing that, I can tap dance if you guys would like.
Let's not hear you or see you.
All right, now you sound much better. You sound much better. So you're trying to get this all done by Tuesday. Now, if you get to raise the funds you need, I was reading on your Kickstarter project here that then you're going to be bringing in how many hundreds of these strawberries?
I'm ordering a minimum of 500. So yeah, I'm gonna have a interesting time fitting 500 plushies into my apartment. I also I had a stretch goal to go as well. I'm not sure if that one's gonna get funded, but that was gonna be another plush, and that would have meant I would have had like 1,000 plushies in this apartment. So it's gonna be very interesting getting everything in here.
All I can think about is that Chucky movie, the Chucky doll with 1,000 strawberries chasing you around.
Oh, gosh. I like the little bunny one, the Sakura?
Oh, the one that's wrapped in the leaf, yes. Yeah.
It's wrapped in a little leaf. It's so cute.
What
that
age are you getting a lot of them? Pretty much, you know, I get everything, all age ranges that are attracted to my plushies. I get everything from, like, teenagers to all the way to adults. I actually sold the little angry bunny I've got, the steam buns. I sold that to a coworker the other day. So.
How cute, see? Yes, all kids at heart.
Yeah, you know, you're never too old to have, like, fun and see cute things and stuff.
Are you going to come out with, like, a wine bottle?
A wine bottle plush?
What, for me?
I have a cheese and wine design on my prints and stuff like that, but yeah.
Well,
that might not go
a good idea for people that sleep with their wine bottles.
So we wish you the best of luck, Holly, on what you're trying to do. And everybody who's listening, go to her website. And like I said, there's a link here. It's kimchikawaii.com. You can find out more about her products. She's got a real cool website because you've got other areas that you can go to with, I guess, people that you're associated with that can visit other websites with some really neat products and help her get this strawberry chocolate plush. She's almost there, and all she needs is just about another $1,500-$1,800. So if you can help out, every little dollar helps. And Holly, we wish you the best and good luck, and let us know how it goes.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, you're welcome. Take care. All right, everybody, check it out. Go to her website. You can find out more. And I'm going to take a quick break because we're speaking of wine and whiskey. Tara Pensley's got a song just for the two of us, Brian.
I know you forgot already.
It's called Wine and Whiskey. We're going to take a break. We'll be back here in a couple of minutes with our next guest. And our next guest, as I said a few minutes ago, is going to be talking about hand-brewed soap made out of beer. So everyone hang tight. We'll be right back.
It's easy to feel wishful and impatient when it comes to love across the nation. I want to laugh hesitant and cry the other day when I left you there. I didn't see.
And that was Tara Tensley, her new song, Wine and Whiskey. And thank you to our first guest. And by the way, don't worry about it, Holly. She wrote me a note and said she's so embarrassed because of her
speakerphone. She says she's a newbie to the radio and not a problem. We appreciate you joining us, and good luck with your project. And now we're going to our next guest, I think. Before we do, hey, Laurie, are you still up there breathing?
Barely. It's okay.
I think you should think, okay, I think it, which is better? Brian, should we let her sweat or should we let her go off the air?
No, I want to hear the next couple. No, I
want to
be
out. Well, let me tell you, it was really humid outside down here in Richmond, and I was thinking I was going to sit out on the deck and do a show, but I couldn't sit out there, so I was going to suggest opening the window, but it's probably worse.
On the second level, yes. No, it's
yeah.
really. I mean, it's so
well,
humid.
It's
we
all
had the air running
hot
for
air
days.
Rising. It's all brilliant hot air rising.
Yeah, and I'm sitting where it's nice and cool in the AC, and the AC is set on 65 degrees, so I'm doing pretty good here myself. But
you got to figure out how you can kind of isolate the two of you on the same floor somehow.
Doesn't work. Get too much feedback. We've tried it before.
Yep.
Speaking of feedback, hey, folks, if you want to call in, maybe you just don't want to call in, but the number is 714-242-5272. If you'd like to say hello, goodbye, whatever, yell at us, I don't care, but you're welcome to call today. We haven't taken call-ins in a long time, and since it is our three-year anniversary, I thought, well, if anybody wants to call, they're welcome to call, but no one's calling, so I guess they don't care. So anyway,
now,
our next guest.
I actually prepared a surprise for you.
You did?
Yeah, I prepared a surprise for you. Partly was I was trying to come up with a good Ace of the Hole backup plan in case you floundered again, as you usually do. So I have a guest who's welcome to call in if he's listening and say hi.
That would be nice.
We'll see. It's a surprise guest. But
so
we'll see if he wants to call in.
This is just a surprise guest. I love surprise guests. Okay, surprise guest, call in. Ain't nobody calling in right now, so the phone lines are wide
surprise.
Open. So, surprise.
Hey, you want to talk about weird hamburgers?
Yeah, why not? Because I don't see our guest, our actual true guest, coming up here yet. So, yeah, talk about hamburgers. Talk about something, please.
All right. I pulled up another story. You know, we always talk about hamburgers. Some are really bad, some are really good. Disgusting. And let me tell you, when you mentioned Burger King and getting the new specialty burger, I was wondering whether it was the mushroom Swiss.
Yes, actually. Well, yes, it was. It was mushroom Swiss.
It was mushroom Swiss, yeah.
Yeah, actually, it was really good. And whoever invented the mushroom Swiss burger 300 years ago, whenever it was invented, should be a really rich man now because, or a woman or whoever, because that's probably one of the best combinations I've ever had on a hamburger, mushrooms and
good.
Swiss cheese. My only issue with the burger, because I stray to the dark side, and since, you know, we're together on a show, we talk about food, we talk about, you know, wine, we talk about other things, I need to do research, you know. Research and development. So I go out and I try these new things. I did love the burger, but it was messy, and I was so worried that I was going to get this all over my shirt and have to get back in my car.
Well,
you got
to
keep
that
extra shirt in there.
Yeah, that actually happened to me. I was getting ready to go to a meeting, and I was eating the Swiss and the mushroom, and the mushroom juice dribbled out all over my shirt. I had to go back to the hotel and change my shirt.
But, Lori, you're right. I should carry an extra shirt with me because you never know.
Always got to do that. Oh, yeah.
But anyway,
I carry an extra pair of shoes in my trunk of my car. You never know.
You never know.
I pulled out.
Hey, we got two callers, guys. And one of them is our planned guest, and the other one is the mystery guest. So, mystery guest, I need you to hang tight because I need to get our planned guest in first. And if you don't mind hanging on, listening to the show, give us a couple of minutes here. We need to talk to our planned guest, which is I call the beer soap lady. Her name is Allison Noel.
Clean
I think
up
it's
our
Swineheart
act.
Or Sweet. Huh? Yeah, we'll clean up our act.
Swihart or Sweetheart. I may be saying it wrong, but the name of their company is called Hand Brewed Soaps, and it's www.handbrewedsoaps.com. And I love this idea. I got to find out how they came up with the idea, but they make soap out of beer. So if everything's working okay, we'll see. We'll push this button right here. Come on, Gray, make it work. There we go. Good morning, Allison. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, we're doing great. Thank you for joining us this morning. And when I saw beer, I had to have you on. But then I saw soap. I'm like, what the heck? You guys make soap out of beer. This I got to hear. How long have you been making soap out of beer, and how in the heck did you come up with that idea?
Well, I've been making soap for about 4 years and using just ingredients that were I was finding in my backyard. And my husband is a home brewer. So one day we were looking at various recipes, and I came up on a couple of listings about how beer is really good for your skin. I read an article about how they have hot tubs in Prague, and people actually sit in beer. So I asked him, I said, hey, hon, can you give me a couple of cups of your beer? I'm going to make some beer soap. So I did, and I gave it to him, and I gave it to some of his home brewing buddies, and next thing you know, they're using it, and they're asking for some more. I was like, really?
Well, my grandfather used to drink beer all the time, and he smelled like beer. So if I was to take a bath with your soap, am I going to smell like my grandfather?
No, no. It will not beer either. Actually, beer adds lather and moisture to your bar of soap, and it's
okay.
A natural moisture as well. So in some of our soaps and our lip balms, we actually put hops in. As an ingredient or as an exfoliant because it has anti-inflammatory agents in it as well. So beer is not only good to drink, it's actually good for your skin too.
Very interesting.
Wow.
So how many different flavors of beer soap do you have?
Well, that depends on what we're thirsty for because we first go by what we want to drink and then we go by the soap itself. So we go from stouts, ales, pumpkin, that's what we've been drinking lately. Sometimes on our last travels, we were down in Santa Barbara and we discovered Hangar 24's orange wheat beer. So we came home and we cloned it, drank it. We just love that beer. And so now I've got an orange ale beer soap because of it. So we really follow our palate before we make
I love it.
I mean, it's very interesting. Now, I don't know anything about making soap other than what I've seen on TV back in the days of Little House on the Prairie and all that. So in general terms, how do you make beer soap?
Well, basically, we use that old-fashioned recipe where you take your oils. We use olive oil, coconut oil, and sustainable palm oil and beer. And then we mix it with sodium hydroxide. And when you're mixing it together, a chemical reaction occurs, and hence you have soap. So that's pretty much the basic ingredients of soap. So, and it's much better than go ahead.
Can you make beer out of wine?
Beer out of wine.
Can
well,
I
we
make...
Have-
Can you mean can you make soap out of wine? That's what you're.
I mean, I'm sorry, I meant soap. What I say, beer. I mean, I guess you can't make beer out of wine, but can you make soap out of wine?
Yeah. So we also, because we're hand brewed, our whole belief is if you can brew it, we can make soap out of it. So we have wine soap. We have a Merlot and a Pinot Noir, and we also have coffee and tea. So we've got a green tea and a chai tea as well.
That is so.
Well,
cool.
I'm going to be ordering for the holidays. What this is great for gifts. I love it.
Oh yeah, that's. I have a
I'm
question
a soap
about
person
that.
Anyway, I spend money on soap, like sometimes $8-$9 on a bar. So you can bet I'll be ordering.
Yeah,
oh,
I have a question about that too because my wife. Whenever we go places, we travel. We're always like checking out these little novelty shops that have artisan soaps, and you know, like we go to the state fair and they have people that are doing artisan soaps and. So I always get her soaps. Now, tell me about this 6-month plan. How much soap do you actually ship in 6 months?
Well, right now, I think it's also because it's kind of the beer season right now. We've been sending soap out a lot to local stores in the area and some in Florida and in Illinois as well. But we also have a 6-month or so we have subscription bars where people can subscribe to us, and we would send you one bar of beer soap every month to your doorstep. So We've got a 12-month subscription, and we have a 6-month one as well. So in about a month, right?
So you assume that a bar of soap will last a month?
Because it's real soap, a bar of soap, depending on how you use it, will last anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks because it's real soap. It's not like, soap that you get.
No, I understand that. In fact, the soaps that I get from my wife, they usually last a long time. So that's a good gauge, though. A bar of soap a month, is a fantastic gauge. But I think that's great, though, that you know, it's like Soap of the Month Club.
You just get another
bar of soap every month.
Yeah.
So if people want to find more about you, they can go to your website, which is www.handbrewedsoaps.com. It's a really cool product, and I'm just intrigued about how it smells. So is there anything in it other than the beer that we give it? Did you add, like, any fragrances or anything? Or when you get a bar of soap, does it smell like beer?
Well, if you're definitely a beer geek and you really know kind of the smells of your beer, our unscented ones, you can definitely smell the esters of the beer. We have some that are unscented. We have some that have our essential oils in it, and some have just fragrance oils in it as well. So there's a whole gamut of various smells or unsmells. So,
I want to order the pumpkin one. Does it really smell like pumpkin?
Because
pumpkin spice candle, like Yankee candle. I love that smell.
Yeah, and there's real pumpkin in it as well. So we'd add that to it as well.
Ooh.
Now, before you go, she has a lip balm. Is that a beer lip balm?
Yes, we have our lip balms, and we also have some foot balms that I've just created that have the hops in it. And that's the hops that have that anti-inflammatory agent in it to help with. So we have those as well. So, yeah. And you can also find us on Facebook as well. We do monthly giveaways as well. So if you're interested in winning free soap or lip balms or foot balms, please like us on Facebook, and you'll see the giveaways. We do about once a month.
Well, check it out, everybody. Rub-a-dub-dub, three beers in the tub. It's a great idea, and you guys check out their website. Go buy. I like that 6-month and 12-month. So check out our subscription too, where you can get a bar of soap every month in the mail of a different type of beer soap. So we really appreciate you joining us this morning, and keep us posted if you got any new and interesting soaps that you come out with.
Definitely will. And happy anniversary. You've been doing this for 3 years.
Yes, we have. Believe it or not, even though we sound like we just started yesterday, we have been doing this for 3 years, and thank you very much.
Congratulations.
All right, well, thank you very much. Everyone, check out her website. It's a really interesting product. You can find out more, like I said before, at www.handbrewedsoaps.com. Okay, now we're going to do the mystery guest. Dun-da-da-da. Here we go. This is Brian's mystery guest is calling in. And mystery guest, I'm pushing the button, and it's time for you to talk. I guess it is not working. Is he still there?
Am I here?
Hello, mystery guest.
Hello, Brian. Oh, is this Brian?
Please sign in and tell us your name.
Mr. Bill, you call me.
Mr. Bill!
Oh, I'm here in California.
Bill, I'm going to take over for a second because I kind of prompted this. It's really a pleasure to have you call in the show, and I want to let you know that we really enjoy your comments, your antics on our, on our Facebook pages, and I hope that you never ever get insulted by us, pulling your leg and me calling you Mr. Bill. It's all in good fun, but I mean, honestly, we really love reading your stuff and having you be part of our Facebook life.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we need now is a 66-year-old comedian.
Yes.
Well, actually,
I'm telling you, you really need to share your stories.
Yeah, William, actually, Mr. Bill, I understand you were in broadcasting at one time, right?
Yes, a long, long time ago. It was on Kara Radio in Santa Clara.
Cool. Now, did you were you a disc jockey or were you talk radio or what did you do?
It was more disc jockey. I had a morning show on Sundays.
And now you now you live on a walnut farm, right?
Yes, we live in a walnut orchard. We like to call it a walnut ranch.
Okay, a walnut ranch.
I love walnuts.
So you truly, just like I do when I deal with Brian, you truly deal with nuts every day.
Every day. I walk out my front door and I'm hit in the face with nuts.
Yeah, guys, if you want to find William, let me make an announcement here, too. If you want to find William on Facebook, his actual name is William Horn, and we call him Mr. Mill, but he's always a big supporter of the show. We thank you, by the way, for listening and supporting our show, and we always cut up back and forth, but he said you got a mystery guest, and I couldn't think of a better mystery guest because you have been a big supporter for the show, so I thank you for being there for us.
Well, you start the Saturday morning off good. You started off with a joke.
Aww. And William, like I said, we've been friends on Facebook for years, me and you.
I know. Well, you were in Vegas when I first heard of you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was in Jersey, but I had a condo in Vegas. So, yeah, I was there for business. But, yeah, I was always in New Jersey. But, yeah. No, for years now. I think you'd like my business page first or something, right?
Yes,
I became friends on my business page, yeah? No, you're always very supportive, and this is very sweet of you to call in.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling,
Yeah, we're going to, I think I'm going to plan on having a new segment of the show. It's going to be story time with Mr. Bill. Because, Bill, you have so many incredible stories. Whenever you comment on anything, I always know to expect a great story. In fact, I think one night I said, I really need a bedtime story. Where are you, Mr. Bill? I mean, your stories are so incredible, but the thing about your stories is they're from real experience. And,
they're from real experiences.
And it's incredible how many people you have touched your life and you've touched their lives, in the agricultural business and everything. I mean, where you live, it's a hotbed, agriculturally. And, I was amazed that, when you said, oh, I know the Gallows, I know this one, I know that one. I'm like, God, who does he not know?
But there's still one or two people out there I want to meet, but not sure who they are yet.
Well, Mr. Bill, thank you for calling in this morning and being part of our 3-year anniversary show. And you and Brian need to put your heads together. And like I said, we might have a Wine Czar and Mr. Bill show. That would be that would be a classic show. But you guys, I got to take a break here, and I've got to go to our next guest here in a couple of seconds. I'm having some more technical difficulties. I can't go without a show on Great Ideas Radio without saying the word technical difficulties, but we're having issues over here. But, Mr. Bill, thank you for joining us.
Okay.
Come back and
see
us sometime. And take care of those nuts out there.
Will do. Bye-bye now.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right,
bye,
guys, I got to take a break. Things aren't working right here. I don't know if I can even play music. All of a sudden, my system has shut down. I guess everybody's hearing us. I hope everybody's
Laurie,
hearing
can you read us a children's story?
Yeah, Laurie, I might need you. Oh, my
Laurie,
God.
Laurie, can read us a children's story? You and Bill could have a show.
Okay, now, children. No, I can't do that. It has to be a surprise. I can't say anything really about it until it comes out.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I know.
But I'm excited.
You guys keep talking.
The role
so
of the
wait,
winner.
So you know what? We got off on a tangent, and I never actually mentioned the infamous burgers that the 16 essential regional burger styles in America. The first one just was so funny to me because lately I've been telling Brilliant that he's about as amusing as a slug crossing a street. So I open up this article, and the first burger they mentioned is called a slug burger. And I'm like,
No.
A slug burger. Apparently, it was invented in northeastern Mississippi by a guy named John Weeks back in 1917. And they were originally called it the Weeks Burger because the guy was, you know, obviously obsessed with himself, kind of like Dougrill, you know.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
But then they changed the price. Let them change the price. They changed the name of it to the Slut Burger. I can't figure out why they call it a Slut Burger. But
is it slimy?
It's a Slut Burger Cafe. No.
Unbelievable.
All right. The description is a burger patty mixed with flour and soy meal and fried. I don't know what's slut about that. All right. It gained popularity in a small northeast Mississippi town. The moniker Slut Burger was adopted, a nod to the old slang. Oh, okay, here we go. The old slang word for nickel, you know, like a slug.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
A slug,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So the burger was cost a nickel. But I'm sorry, if I went there, you know, if I was traveling through a business and I stopped into this
not
place,
appealing.
You know, and I'm like, I saw it on a menu, I'm like, Slut Burger? Sorry, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, me too.
You know?
I'm with you.
And there's a Slut Burger Cafe, apparently, in Curran, Mississippi.
Okay,
whatever.
Have you ever pour salt on a slug and how they all like shrivel up and dry up into like a little
potato
chip?
Yeah,
syrup.
I've done that.
Everything's working.
Huh?
Oh,
working. Good. Okay.
Everything's working, and I'm gonna play one of. I'm hoping the phones are working now. I'm gonna play one of Tara Tinsley's songs, and this song, I don't know why it makes me laugh, and I probably shouldn't laugh at our guest song, but it's called Shooby Dooby Sunshine. And when I hear the song, all I can think of is me at Saturday mornings watching cartoons. And Brian, do you remember H.R. Puff and Stuff?
Yes, I'm old enough. Yes.
And the Banana Splits, remember them?
Yes.
Well, for some reason, this song makes me think of H.R. Puff and Stuff and the Banana Splits. And I'll let you guys hear it and see if you agree. And hopefully we'll be back with Tara Tinsley after the song cuts off here, if I even get to go. Here we go. We'll be right back.
Shooby-dooby-dooby sunshine.
About Mardi Gras, which is Fat Tuesday. Back where I'm from, Michigan, they have a different way of celebrating Fat Tuesday that I've found here in California. They have something called poonchkis, which they're these donuts that are about 2,000 or more calories in one of them, filled with sugary jelly stuff. It's pretty much like a donut that has so much more sugar and fat in it. And it's just like a tradition over in Michigan, and I'm pretty sure the Midwest area, every Fat Tuesday, people just take on a pound or two by eating those poonchkis. I've yet to find a tradition like that in California, but maybe Californians are just a little bit more healthy. But anyway, so talking about the happenings in San Francisco from...
And there she goes. That was one of your old reports.
Oh, I remember that.
I think that's fantastic, Tara, and I want to tell you that Brilliant's been trying to get me to be a roving reporter, but the problem is that he wants me to always do it from Walmart. And he just knows how much trouble I have walking into a Walmart, so I won't do it. I think that was fantastic.
But from there, Tara went to bigger and better things, and now she's in Nashville, and she's cutting CDs, and she's, like, on the big stage now, and I really appreciate you coming back and being on our show, and this is our third year anniversary, so thank you very much for joining us. And you've got this new CD that you're coming out with, I think, what's it, November?
Oh, no, I released it in July, actually. It's already released.
Well, there you go. See, typical Brilliant Ideas knows absolutely nothing about what's going on.
You got to come on to your team every once in a while.
What is it called, the CD?
It's called I Guess We'll See.
I Guess We'll See. Well, I guess we will see. So you launched this in July, and so how's the sales going so far?
It's going awesome. I've been just touring, promoting it. I'm going to Michigan, actually, next week to play some shows to promote it some more. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm really excited about the fact that I was able to have all these amazing musicians join me on the album here in Nashville. And it just turned out a million times better than I ever imagined. So I'm just very grateful.
Plus, you're doing videos. I think you were shooting a video. A little bird told me you're shooting a video yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I was shooting a commercial or some kind of like infomercial kind of thing. You know, like advertising for some TV thing or something.
I don't know. I was told to ask you that question,
so that's why I'm asking the question. Sunbless said, ask her about the taping of the video she was doing yesterday. So I did.
That's so funny. I was like, wait, only like a few people know about that.
Oh, maybe she just
well,
she was like, trying to freak you out. Now a total of four people know now, or five.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to play some of your new music.
So your ratings have grown.
Yes, they have grown. Someone asked me the other day, how many people do you have listening to your show? And I said, it's somewhere between 5 and 6 million. So it's somewhere between the number 5 and 6 million. So, yes, we have grown. I'm going to play another one of your songs from the new album. I think this is from the new album. It's the song is called
yes.
Never at All. And is there a
yes.
background story about Never at All?
Well, me and my friend Josh Hammonds got together here in Nashville and decided to write a song about hanging on to your ex a little bit too long after you break up. Kind of the friends with benefits, but you shouldn't be. But it's kind of like a heartbreak after that.
So that's the background. Never. By the way, Josh Hammonds, he's been on our show a couple of times, too, and I'm trying to convince him to have his own show about all about Nashville and eating at barbecue joints and country music thing. And I think we're still – if I can find him again, he tends to disappear at times, but hopefully we'll have Josh joining us for a show sometime in the future. All right, here's the song. It's called Never at All. This is Tara Tensley. Everybody hang tight. We'll come back to talk to Tara about Nashville and if she's still – if she eats barbecue out there. I can't remember. Are you a vegetarian?
No way.
Okay, good. We'll talk about barbecue when we come back. Hold on a second.
Turn you away when you're at my door. When you leave me
And that was Tara Tensley, her song Never At All, about hanging on to old flames and using them for whatever you need them for and not supposed to.
Or you can
anyway.
If you want, hey.
So the new album, people can find that at terrytensley.com. Can they also go to all the places like CD Baby and all iTunes and those places
iTunes,
to find it?
iTunes, Napster. Yeah, iTunes, Napster. Just search my name online. It'll be a bunch of things up where you can buy it.
So where are you and Josh Hammonds hang out when you go out for barbecue there in Nashville?
Well, honestly, I've never been out for barbecue with Josh Hammonds. We usually go to, like, just writers' nights or shows and stuff, and we usually just drink. I mean, we're in Tennessee.
Just forget the
we know about drinking.
Drink. Yep. Is there any, like, famous places you go there in Nashville? Like, where all the country music singers hang out? Anything special there? Or do you just, like you say, just go out and drink at the bars and don't eat while you're in Nashville?
Yeah, are you kidding? Like, we're alcoholics out here. No, honestly, I found some amazing places to eat here. My favorite place to eat here is probably Tavern. It's in Midtown, and it's very awesome. Tourist pass because it's just, like, not downtown. A lot of tourists like to hang out downtown. It's very centralized. There's a lot of live bands and country music downtown, so people don't usually venture off. And if they do, they hopefully find Midtown, which is my favorite place to hang out because there's great bars. And then, of course, my little favorite place, Tavern, which has so many different types of food and brunch, and it's so tasty. I mean, there's no barbecue there, so I mean, that kind of with the whole theme, but it's really good.
Yeah, I know in Nashville's got a lot of good food and a lot of barbecue joints that people can hang out and go to, and one of these days I'm going to get there and go try some of them out. So what are you doing other than cutting new CDs and hanging out at the bars and drinking? Do you have any, like, venues that you're playing at now? Do you, like, have any concerts or anything that you actually get paid money to do?
Yeah, I just get paid to drink. Hey, I play all over, just wherever they're hiring and whenever they have a spot. I've been playing downtown lately at this place called Nashville Street Tacos, which is amazing because they have great food. They really do. I miss California's Mexican food. They don't have Mexican food out here like they do in California. So going there, their tacos are at least very good and kind of ease my cravings for the Mexican food that I don't get here.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of great venues out here, though. I mean, if you come out here, I can't tell you how many venues. You walk downtown, I mean, every single bar has live music. So if you ever want to see some live music, especially country, you go downtown. It's awesome.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
First of all, I have a suggestion. I think Brilliant Ideas Radio needs to do a road trip to Nashville because I haven't been to Nashville yet either. I think it'd be a great place for us to do the show.
You pay all the bills, Brian, and we'll be there, okay?
Okay, well, I'll pay it from the money we make on the show, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Have you ever done the Blue Plate special thing in Knoxville? Are you familiar with it?
Me or Tara?
I've only Tara. Been out once driving through, so I don't know anything about Knoxville really, except the highway is pretty easy to get from between the city, you know, like off to the Carolinas. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, there's like the visitor center in Knoxville, and it's also a radio station, and they have a little sound stage. And on the wall, on the back wall, there are all these blue plates with pictures of artists that have performed on the stage. And they do a lot of promoting new, you know, artists. So I just wondered if you'd ever done it. Because when we were in Knoxville, we saw it, and it's like an amazing amount of people that have been on that stage and that have become really famous people afterwards.
Right on.
Actually, at a rest stop.
Well, I need to check that out.
Now, back to the topic about Mexican food, because you made me think about something here.
You're exactly right. Mexican food in California, because I was in California for 13 years, is different than Mexican food in Texas. And I cannot figure that out why, because they both share the same border. Hey, Brian, you're supposed to be so smart and know everything. Why would it be so much different in Texas than it would be in California?
Because everything's bigger in Texas, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just weird. And then when you get into Nashville and all those areas, forget it. There are no Mexican foods. It just dawned on me sitting here thinking Tex-Mex is different than. It has nothing to do with you, Tara. Just I'm off on a tangent here, but Tex-Mex is different than actual California food, and I just wonder why that is.
But you know, it's like look, any country you're in, you go to a different province, and the food is different. So the Texans were influenced by the Mexican food that they ate, you know, across the border there. You know, California was influenced by the Baja Peninsula, you know, food. So, I mean, that's my only logical answer to it.
Well, it's just interesting because I was in Amarillo, and Amarillo Mexican food is completely different. And Tara's exactly right. There's nothing like California Mexican food, and I just don't know why. But anyway, back to Tara. So, Tara, do you have any CDs planned in the future?
Right now, I'm just focusing on this one. You know, musicians do like to get ahead of themselves and, you know, release one CD and then go, hey, well, the next one. But I'm focusing on really promoting this one and doing maybe releasing singles over maybe next year, but this one is all you guys get for maybe a year. So you guys gotta buy it up and enjoy it. Memorize all the songs. When I come to your town, you gotta be singing with me. Otherwise, I'm gonna get the whip out.
Do they call it albums or do they call them CDs when you go into the recording studio?
Honestly, people call it all different types of things: CDs, albums, records. Depends on you know how cool you think you are. I think people that call them records still, you know, they're really like, you know, either hipster or older. But yeah, albums, I call it album.
You call it album. There you go. I still call them albums, even though they are CDs. And I guess CDs, I hear, are now going to be replaced by things you can, like, stick on your head and not even have to buy a disc. It just, like, feeds into your brain somehow. I just read that the other day. Remember, Laurie, I read that story where we had to communicate without even having PDs and computers.
That
was
amazing.
That comes through your brain. Anyway, another tangent. So
we do that a lot.
Yeah, we do. Do you want me to play the last song, which is the title of your CD/album? It's called I Guess We'll See. And what's the background story about I Guess We'll See?
Well, I was in Ohio, met a guy, and you know how that, like, you meet someone, but they live somewhere else. He lives in West Virginia, so you don't really know how it's going to work out because you live in another state. So it's kind of about
right.
That. I don't really know what's going to happen, but right now, this is pretty awesome.
Oh, good. So it's actually going on right now, so things are working out. So
yay.
I guess you're seeing that it's working out pretty good.
Oh, well, no. I mean, I'm just saying you think it's going to go pretty awesome. It didn't go. I mean, we're not together. But, you know, he's in West Virginia. What are you going to do with that?
All right, we're going to play the
song.
But
it was a good vehicle for a song.
Yeah, really. It was the title track of the album, and it's called I Guess We'll See, and I guess we'll see what happens to Tara and her love affair later on. So everyone hang tight.
Couldn't have written better.
Our good friend Chef Christo,
And we'll be adding more and more and more people to the roster. So everyone have a nice weekend. We will see you next Saturday. I'm out of here. Goodbye, Brian. Goodbye, Laurie. And goodbye, everyone.
Cheers, guys.
Telling me to come home. Blame the fast living for the reason I live. Does heaven got whiskey and cigarettes?
I woke up this morning with songs I sang last night. They were playing my life in my head. Empty bottles of whiskey on the floor of my hotel, and a woman laying in my bed. Cause we're off to Colorado tonight. We got a Denver show. I woke up that woman when I kissed her goodbye. And her name I guess I'll never know.
The devil keeps dancing, please leave me alone. Angels keep singing, telling me to come home. Blame the fast living for the reason I live. Does heaven got whiskey and cigarettes? Does heaven got whiskey and cigarettes? I've done some things that I regret. I hope that you can forgive and forget. Does heaven got whiskey and cigarettes?
Outlaws on bikes riding in the wind from the law daily. The devil lives in my bourbon, Lord. Will these angels ever come and save me? There's cheap women running around back, loaded shotguns and some gun racks. I play chicken on the train tracks ever since I was a young cat. Another hotel, another dive bar, another round of crown, another round of jack. Now this old jukebox says my life story's like a Hank Williams soundtrack. Only memories and tattoos tell me that I lived a good death, good death. I've been burning up the candle, nothing left. Pass me the whiskey and cigarettes.
The devil keeps dancing, please leave me alone. Angels keep singing, telling me to come home. Blame the fast living for the reason I live. Does heaven got whiskey and cigarettes? Does heaven got whiskey and cigarettes? I've done some things that I regret. I hope that you can forgive and forget. Heaven got whiskey and cigarettes. The devil keeps dancing, please leave me alone. Angels keep singing, telling me to come home. Blame the fast living for the reason I live. Does heaven got whiskey and cigarettes? Does heaven got whiskey and cigarettes? I've done some things that I regret. I hope that you can forgive and forget. Does heaven got whiskey and cigarettes?